Hello and welcome to another edition of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is your host, John Jantz, and today we're going to talk with entrepreneur, author, and nationally syndicated columnist, Rhonda Abrams. Her column in USA Today, called Successful Strategies, is one of the most widely distributed columns on small business and entrepreneurship in the United States, reaching, get this, tens of millions of readers each week. We're going to also talk about her latest book called Bringing the Cloud Down to Earth, How to Choose, Launch, and Get the Most from Cloud Solutions for Your Business, a very, very hot topic. So, Rhonda, thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you, John, for having me.
I can't believe this is the first time I've had you on the show, because we have sort of crossed paths so many times in the last probably 10 years that I'm really thrilled to be able to do this.
And I can honestly say I'm thrilled to be here, too. I've followed you with great admiration for many years.
So this term cloud has become one of those that means a lot of things to people, means nothing to people, is sort of hard to pin down. So let's start there. Let's at least have a baseline. When people talk about the cloud, you know, what are we really talking about for business?
Well, you're right. It can apply to a lot of different things. And the cloud in the broadest sense means basically having something that's either stored or provided from the internet rather than on your on-premise solutions like servers or hard drives on your computers. So it could be storage, it could be computing capability, it could be a variety of different things. But in terms of what I've written about and where small businesses really care about the cloud, it really means this term that's sometimes called SaaS or software as a service, which basically means putting your business applications on an internet-hosted company rather than having to be fully responsible for those kinds of applications on your own servers or hard drive.
So, in other words, for everybody that's maybe used Excel for a million years on their computer or on their server, now we're talking about Google Docs and those types of things that you go online and you through a web browser you use, right?
Correct. I think a lot of people may be familiar with Google Docs, but I think even easier than thinking about Google Docs is thinking of Gmail or Hotmail,
right,
or Yahoo Mail, which, you know, many companies and many individuals once upon a time had their email on a mail exchange server or something like that. And now they have something on like Gmail where they can get access to their mail anywhere they are, and they're not responsible for maintaining the back end. But for small businesses, you know, there's just an explosion of new services that makes your life so much easier and gives you so much more power, because they're providing the service, not just storage, but real powerful services for small business.
Well, and really a lot of the old entrenched, you know, maybe kicking and screaming, but the old entrenched players, desktop players like the Microsofts of the world, are making all of their software available as a service as well, aren't they?
And they are, and it's really a challenge for them to be making this transition, because I think people want this kind of capabilities and this always available wherever you are. So, I mean, mobility is one of the great advantages. It's not certainly not the only advantage, but one of the great advantages. You know, so I'm no longer tied to my own computer when I want to be able to do Microsoft Word or Outlook or whatever, but be able to have that capability anywhere else. But, I mean, I think if we were going to talk about, particularly for your listeners who are interested in marketing, I think one of the first kinds of cloud-based services that they may want to take their step into, other than mail, is email newsletters. I mean, that, I think maybe I'm projecting on my part, because that was one of the first things that I did in the cloud that was just, like, addictive. So when you, what I had happen in my business is we had a supposedly monthly email newsletter to people who had signed up to follow my column and all. And it took a staff member here at least 2 to 3 days to manage putting everything together. They had to know how to use Dreamweaver. They had to maintain not very well the mailing list and keep changes. And we switched to an online email newsletter service, and suddenly, you know, somebody in my staff can do it in 30 minutes. We have so much more power. We have analytics, and that's a word you want to know, remember, for the cloud. We can find so much more information about who's opening what and how often. It's so much easier and cheaper to do, even though there's a fixed cost. it's wonderful.
Well, and I wonder sometimes, you know, we talk about this with this whole idea of, you know, moving on to the cloud and that all this is changing. I wonder how many small businesses out there, though, it's almost not really an issue in some ways because so many of the things that they've adopted, mainly because they were cheaper and faster and they had access to them, or maybe they had virtual workers, so they had to figure out how to do project management. I mean, I for one, and I know I'm not, you know, I'm not classic example of a small business sometimes, but I can't think of anything we don't do on the cloud. And I wonder if that's becoming more and more the case.
I absolutely, John. I think startups particularly, if you're starting a new business, you're going to start almost everything in the cloud. You're going to start your storage in the cloud. You know, you may start your QuickBooks or other accounting in the cloud, which is something that small businesses often are one of the last things that they move to the cloud. You're certainly going to start like your customer relationship management with something like Salesforce in the cloud. So startups, first of all, you can start in many cases free or cheap, like Google Apps. You know, instead of buying a Microsoft Office suite, you can get Google Apps for free. So I think startups are doing it, and a lot of savvy small businesses are moving very quickly to it. But existing businesses, you know, there's another word to remember, which is migrating, because you have all this data. You need, in many cases, some help making the change from your on-premise current application to the cloud. And I think that's one of the reasons I wrote the book.
Yeah, and as I said, maybe I'm not typical because there certainly is that, you know, small manufacturer, for example, that's maybe got a room full of servers that is doing some things and running their data and running their processes and storing, you know, all of the customer information. I mean, you know, what is the process for somebody like that maybe is saying, well, gosh, you know, I'm leasing this stuff for tens of thousands of dollars a month. I mean, you know, obviously you don't just flip a switch and say, well, now we're on the cloud. I mean, what's kind of the process for maybe somebody saying, I know I need to do this because it's costing me and because maybe I'm falling behind in some innovation. You know, what's the process for getting started on that?
Well, first of all, I think you've just picked up a really important thing that there is a cost in falling behind. Because we're talking about all of the convenience of these kinds of services, but the power of them is really amazing. But to get back to your question about sort of the process of transitioning, I think you're absolutely right. I'm sitting here, let's say, with a bunch of servers. I've got, you know, 10 years worth of data. I have industry-specific applications. It's not an easy step necessarily to move, you know, this stuff to the cloud. Generally, that kind of business is going to make a decision when there's a critical turning point. In my own business, for instance, what we're dealing with right now is our server has basically come to the end of its lifespan. We now need to go to QuickBooks Enterprise. We've outgrown our QuickBooks. And so we have a number of turning points where we would need to be doing upgrades. And that's a natural time to make the change because I'm looking at either making a large capital investment or switching over to just operational expenses. And so it saves me the thousands of dollars I'd be spending now, and I'm changing that into a monthly expense. And it's a natural transition time. But even in our case, a very small business, we need some help doing it. So you often, if you are a business that's already up and operating, you have lots of customers, you have lots of data, you probably are going to need some IT help to help in that transition. But many of the services have third-party providers who can help you do the transition. So when we transition, for instance, from Act to Salesforce, Salesforce could recommend a number of IT providers to help us do that.
Yeah, and I think that there are some, especially when you're in this transition phase, I mean, there are some actual tools that people employ to maybe help integrate some of the fact that, you know, they want all their data talking to each other. In fact, one of my favorite lines somebody told me years ago is if you have data in two places, it's wrong in one. And that, you know, so obviously this idea of maybe we have to have some in-house or, you know, on site, we're using some of these tools or transitioning to some of these tools. And you and I were in Austin recently, right, together down at Dell, and they talked about a service that I think you write about in the book that I think is really fascinating that they call Boomi. You want to, you know, I know you're not here, right, to make an ad for Dell, but I think it's really a fascinating tool.
And I was just going to say, I think, so we're going to talk about another word for people to remember in addition to migration and analytics, and that's integration.
Right.
And the idea of having one database, one service be able to talk to another. And Boomi is a company that Dell bought, I think last year, and that it is an easy, relatively, service to be able to help you integrate and connect various different services that you have one to another. And they have some pre-built ones so that you can connect, let's say, QuickBooks to Salesforce so that your salespeople could immediately see what has actually gone on with the accounts that they're selling to. So, a salesperson takes an order, it can generate an invoice in QuickBooks. And you can, I mean, just talking about that, you can see how much time and money it saves you, because there's no double entry. There's, as you said, not the problem of having something go wrong, you know, where they add an extra zero to the order, or drop, worse, even drop a zero from the order. So I think that kind of communication between these services is really going to be something that's important. And let me also say there's integration besides cloud to cloud, there's cloud to on-premise, because most small businesses of any size have an industry-specific software application that they love and use and the backbone of their company. So, you know, if you're a citrus, you know, grower, you probably have an agricultural software program that you're using that helps you figure that out. You want to be able to tie that application that may not be available in the cloud, you may not want it in the cloud, to some of the cloud-based solutions that are out there. And that's what Boomi can help you do. And I'm sure there are others besides Boomi, but Boomi is the one that I know about and that Dell is certainly making a big commitment to help make available for small and medium-sized businesses.
One of the things that I like about the book, and again, we're talking about bringing the cloud down to earth, and one of the things I like about it is you have a lot of examples, kind of mini case studies, and then all the worksheets, you know, for somebody that's, here's all the things to consider on your list. But do you want to, and I sometimes put authors on the spot this way, but I know in doing the research for the book, is there kind of a favorite example or two where somebody, you know, made this transition and it just saved them a whole bunch of money or just really allowed them to grow or really changed kind of the whole dynamic of their business even?
Well, and thanks for the plug. Yes, there are a lot of different examples in here, and worksheets is a, you know, worksheets are a hallmark of all of our books. We really like to make these actionable so that you can go through checklists when looking at somebody, you know, that you're considering a software, you know, a cloud service or things to ask a cloud service provider. So we really want this book to be something that you use to help you make these choices when and whether to go to the cloud. But one of my favorite examples is a company called ISIS, and they run in-home nursing care. And they switch to services where on their nurses' mobile phones, they could sign in, keep track of their hours, get their assignments, do calendaring. And it freed up a tremendous amount of staff time in doing this kind of scheduling and in doing billing and invoicing because, you know, the nurse didn't have to go back to their house and write up a paper invoice and send it to the central office, and the central office had to then enter it. It was all done really on the fly. Now, that kind of specialized cloud service was something they had developed for them, but more and more you're going to be able to get off-the-shelf kinds of things. So, you know, there's plenty of off-the-shelf kinds of services that are now coming for, like, hair salons or other kinds of things where people can make reservations online.
Yeah, I think anybody that does an appointment-based business and doesn't have an online scheduling is missing the boat, because there's certainly a whole segment of the market, generation, whatever you want to blame it on, you know, that would much rather make a few clicks on their phone and schedule their massage or their oil change than to pick up a phone and have to do it.
And they're doing it on their phones too, and a lot of these services are mobile enabled. So, you know, if you're out and about and you suddenly think, I'm in my car, I realize I need an oil change, I'm going to pull over and make an appointment rather than I'm going to remember to do this when I get back to my home or my office.
So this is less, I hear this less and less, but certainly 4 or 5 years ago, you know, there was this, oh, I'm not putting my financial data up on the cloud. I mean, it's not safe there. And, of course, you know, then they would back up a few disks and have them sitting on the corner of their desk where I'm not sure they were safe there either. But but that's, you know, that's certainly one that you deal with in the book, and it's still out there. You know, what concerns, you know, are there that somebody should have if, you know, if they're going sort of both feet in this direction?
Well, I think those are realistic concerns. I think it's realistic to be concerned about privacy and security, and the long term, and as well the long term stability of your provider. I think you want to make sure if you're going to be putting your data, and especially financial data, on somebody's site, that first of all they're going to be here a few years from now. So I think that's one of the first things. I think many people don't even think about that, but you know, we're right now in an explosion of cloud-based companies. So you know, me personally, if I'm going to put my data in a cloud-based solution, and I am, it's going to be with Intuit, the maker of QuickBooks, because I'm pretty confident that they're going to be around for another 10 years.
And that's a great point, too, though, because it's not just, well, security, of course, is a big issue, but also it's reliability, too, because,
absolutely.
I mean, if you've got your customers rocking and rolling using a certain customer service tool or something, they love it and they get used to it, and all of a sudden that company goes away, I mean, the disruption could be pretty brutal.
And reliability is uptime. You know, how do I feel like the company has the resources that when there's an outage, and there will almost certainly at some point be some kind of outage, that's going to be a very minor period of time, and I'll be very minimally disrupted. You know, mind you, my own server going down, I'm much more likely to be disrupted, and it's going to be costly, and it's going to be on a Sunday, and it's going to be, you know, I'm going to have to pay double time to an IT person to get out there and fix. And, you know, small businesses are notoriously bad for backing up. And sooner or later, you know, you may face an emergency where, you know, I live in earthquake country and there's floods and fires and tornadoes and hurricanes. And if you cannot recover your financial data, you are going to have a much, much harder time getting an SBA recovery loan or help. So you want to be able to have that data backed up somewhere. Whether or not you're using a cloud-based service, you want to make sure your financial data is somehow or another off-site backup. And that usually means some kind of transfer over the Internet. And if you're not doing that, whatever you think you're doing isn't secure enough. You know, you're putting it in a fireproof safe, and you're, you know, remember when you remember to back up, you think you're doing it, you know, once a week, but it turns out to be once every 2 months. So this is automatic, and it's something you don't even have to think about. So there's a certain kind of security there as well. I mean, there is always a trade-off of security to some degree. Nothing is, you know, 1,000%. But I think in many cases, these cloud-based services have the ability to provide much greater security than you can on your own.
Well, that was the point I was kind of trying to make, too, is, I mean, a lot of people, you know, their offices aren't where maybe the only place the data is stored. Not very secure place a lot of times. I mean, you know, some of these data storage facilities are like the Pentagon in terms of trying to get into them. And, you know, your little office, somebody kicks the door in and steals your backup disks. You know, you're not very secure in that regard either.
The janitorial service decides to walk off with your server.
Exactly.
You know, some temporary person, and there, right. Then where you are. I mean, yep. So there's relatively different levels of kind of security that you're dealing with.
Redundancy is a really, really good thing.
And, you know, but here's the thing, and I definitely want to make sure that people know this. The cloud makes all of this so much easier.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, the main reason I'm moving everything to the cloud, besides power, is to get rid of my headaches. You know, I'm trading unexpected cost and continual headaches about IT. I don't want to think about my IT. You know, I don't want to think about my technology. I want it just to work so I can concentrate on my business. And I think a lot of small business owners are in that situation. And especially when it comes to marketing, and I know a lot of your listeners are particularly interested in marketing. There are so many strong marketing tools now. I mean, we haven't talked about the specifics of some of the capabilities that come with, let's say, using an email newsletter marketing service, where you can have trigger marketing. You can do testing as to which A/B testing of which, you know, kinds of newsletter or offer gets the best results. You can do all the kinds of things that would have cost you a fortune and taken a lot of time, you know, with a few clicks and literally, you know, in a half an hour, you could plan a campaign that would have taken you tons of money and tons of time to do. So I think that leveling the playing field, which is a term that's overused, I think these services really do help achieve a lot of that.
Well, not to mention the real-time feedback and metrics. We just this afternoon launched a campaign, and we weren't seeing the clicks or actually the conversions that we expected, that we knew we would get from this particular campaign, and we immediately moved a buy button on a page, and boom, it changed it, you know, immediately. So that's the other thing I love, is the sort of real-time feedback that you get.
Right, and even people who don't have a lot of time to spend on their marketing, here's something that, like trigger marketing. You can set up in your email marketing newsletter where if somebody clicks on, let's say, a product and they don't buy, they don't then click to the buy button, a week later they get a 20% discount on that product to maybe move them forward on it, or 3 days later or something. So that kind of marketing capability was way beyond small businesses before. It just was not really easy. And you can set that up once, and it can be there forever. You know, you don't have to continually maintain those kinds of things.
So we've exhausted our time, Rhonda. I'm talking to Rhonda Abrams, and we are talking about bringing the cloud down to earth. And before I let you go, though, I was going to have you share the fact that you can certainly the book will be for sale wherever books are sold, but there's also the ability to download an ebook version of the book, and I can either share it or you can share it. But
why don't you go ahead and share it? Just thanks to Dell.
It's can be found at Dell. cloudapplications.com/cloud-ebook. And actually, if you're listening to this driving down the road, then go to my podcast site. You know where it is, on my blog, and I'll have the link there as well. So, Rhonda, thanks so much for joining me. This was great. I have a sense that we will probably make a stronger effort to bump into each other out there on the road.
Well, it was a pleasure, John.
All right. Take care.